91, Michelle Wheeler against Ronald Lawson.
Your Honor, may it please the Court, my name is Matthew Barrett, and I represent Michelle Wheeler in this case. Your Honors, this is a Section 1983 civil rights case involving entry of defendant's motion for summary judgment, which relates to the arrest of Ms. Wheeler. Ms. Wheeler was charged for a crime, Your Honors, for something that she had absolutely no connection with, and this case is really about a textbook example of over-aggressive law enforcement with respect to her. I'd like to address three overall issues today. The first issue is really the main issue, is whether there is a disputed fact relating to whether probable cause existed to arrest her for the crime of maintaining a common nuisance, a statutory crime under Indiana law. The second issue is whether the arresting officer, Detective Ronald Lawson, was entitled to qualified immunity, the defense. And the final issue, lesser extent, is whether there was probable cause to arrest her for other uncharged offenses. Addressing the first issue, the focus is on the knowledge and maintaining elements of the maintaining common nuisance statute. The district court below found that Wheeler had constructive knowledge that meth was in this detached garage that was away from her residence. Courts looked to six factors in balancing this, and we laid those out in our brief. The district court and the defendants contend that three of those factors are present in this case, which is
How large was the garage? How big was
it? It was a small garage. Probably a car could fit in it. Probably a car, and probably just enough room to maybe put a golf cart in. It's a car and a half, best way to describe it, like a block garage. So.
And how far away was it from the house?
About 500 or 600 feet. The three
factors. What season of the year was this?
I'm sorry?
What season of the year?
It was in April. The three factors with respect to the constructive knowledge analysis that was addressed involved the existence of a manufacturing setting for the meth. The location was in plain view of Ms. Wheeler. And the final one was that it was in close proximity to items that she had, personal items, in the garage. Concerning the manufacturing setting, it is disputed with respect to her that she had no idea that this was going on. Yes, there were propane tanks found in there. There was aerosol cans, battery, ammonia. But this was a mechanic's garage, and those items are commonly found in any mechanic's garage. She wouldn't go out there. It was her estranged husband and her two cousins who would work out there. And in fact, they were working out there on the night, the evening prior to this fire. The police just more or less gathered all this up and assumed that there was a manufacturing setting going on.
Is there anything in the record that indicates that these methamphetamine-related objects were arranged in a manner that might resemble a manufacturing facility prior to that night?
Your Honor, I don't think there was anything about arranging because it was a destructive fire. It was described as almost as an inferno because
the answer was before that night.
No, none at all. None at all. There was no prior investigation.
Was the car in the garage?
Yes, it was a van. Yes, it was. There was also a cart there that ran on airplane fuel, which is really probably what supplied most of the fuel for this fire.
And there were also clothes there in the garage.
Clothes, other personal items. Wheeler and the two witnesses denied having an existence.
And can we go back for a minute?
Sure.
How often, and just remind me, did the record show that she visited the detached garage before the fire?
Very rarely, if even a week. It was more or less a guy's hangout where they would, her estranged husband, who would visit about weekly, and her two cousins would work on cars.
But in terms of her visiting, there was nothing in the record about how frequently she went, how long ago it had been since she'd been there.
I think she said this very rarely. There was no exact date.
Wait a minute. She also said she said a week, about once
right.
a week.
That's,
I think maybe a week.
Well, that's what I'm trying to
this
get.
This was a really bad situation in the briefs. One brief says seldom. One brief says every week. Frankly, I wrote a note to my law clerk and said, who's lying to me?
I could be mixing it up with her estranged husband because he did say he was there weekly. He would come weekly. But I'm not certain if we have an exact time for her. She said just rarely. That's what she testified to in the deposition.
Did Russell Dillard install the video surveillance equipment at Michelle Wheeler's request? Is there anything in the record that shows why the system was installed?
She had mentioned that there were security issues. There was a lot of mechanical tools in there, And just being out in the rural area, they just wanted to have a surveillance
and
camera.
And did she indicate, was it anything in the record that indicated that that was at Russell Dillard's request?
No, he just did it.
How often would you go to, this is her deposition, how often would you go to the small block garage? Answer, not very often. Question, once a week, no response. Question. Or what does not very often mean? Answer, maybe once a week.
Okay. We'll agree to that. And also that was her husband who would come weekly too as well, so that's probably what I was referring to, Your Honor. But it wasn't often.
The location of the house, it wasn't in Knox itself, it was in the rural area?
It was right on the outskirts of Knox, Your Honor. And it is a rural area. Getting to the plain view factor, Your Honor, the court below said that she had probably could see this small amount of meth, which they refer to as it was in a small bag, by virtue of the security camera. And again, it's only focused on the outside. It's not on the inside. It's certainly hard to imagine how you can know what's going on the inside because it was inside the garage.
Did you have a video camera on the garage?
I'm sorry?
Who put the video camera on the garage?
I think it was her cousin Mark Dillard.
Is Rusty Mark, or is that somebody
Rusty
else?
Rusty was the other cousin. There were two cousins. Rusty was the one who died in the fire.
Did he have her consent to do that?
Yes.
Do we know when he did?
No, we don't.
Is that a monitor in the house?
I believe there is. And there was a tape, which she said that was not... in on the time of the fire, and she did say she wouldn't watch it very rarely anyway.
Doesn't the fact that the individual who died in the fire, who apparently had something to do with the methamphetamine operation, put that camera up on the garage with her permission and knowledge?
The person who died in the fire, I don't think was the person, Your Honor. I think it was his brother, Mark Dillard, but. As to whether the reason that he put it up, she was just assuming that it was for security reasons.
Rusty, was he the one who died in the fire?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So he was probably involved in this methamphetamine.
He was. They found it in his body on the autopsy, which we don't dispute.
Rusty, and Rusty's the guy who put up this video recording equipment.
I think his brother, Mark, put it up. The brothers were out there that morning.
Could I both have to go back and take a look at the record?
And then, but there's no question that she used this camera, right? She would use the camera.
She said she would occasionally look at it.
Right, she would look at the camera when she would turn on the camera when she heard something outside.
Yes, a noise. I think it was referred to. You're correct.
So the camera was under her control.
Yes, it was. It was attached. She was the property owner.
Right. I just mean in terms of turning it on and turning it off.
Correct.
Is there anything in the record that indicates whether your client knew that Rusty had been investigated previously?
No.
With respect to drugs?
No. She did not. She was taking care of quite a load herself and working full-time and just never got into what they did out there.
Did she affirmatively so state in her deposition?
I don't believe so. I can't recall.
So are you giving us your knowledge of the situation from your client, or does the record affirmatively show that she had no knowledge?
She had no knowledge that there was something going on there with meth or any other criminal activity with respect to this.
And there was fertilizer in the garage.
Yes.
Was this a quantity that one would expect to see with respect to gardening activities like that on the premises?
We never established that in the record, Judge. Just to wrap up here, Your Honor, I see I'm getting into my rebuttal time. I think this case boils down to guilt by association. We have a mother here who has a lot of kids, taking care of some who are under oxygen, working full-time with adults who are handicapped. She has family members out here who are doing something they probably shouldn't have been doing, as we found out later. And it's a guilt by association. You need objective facts to connect this to her. We don't have that. I think it is overreaching with respect to her. The only thing that they establish is the fact that she is the property owner. Judge, I'll just reserve the balance of my time here on rebuttal, unless you have any more questions.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Mr. Barrett, we asked a lot of questions, and you had time had expired, but I will be giving you 2 minutes for rebuttal in any event.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear now from Mr. Clark.
May it please the Court. Matthew Clark, on behalf of the appellees, defendant Ronald Lawson in this case in his individual capacity. Your Honor, we're here today to argue that this Court should affirm the District Court's opinion granting summary judgment, and that we believe that there was a probable cause to arrest Michelle Wheeler for maintaining a common nuisance. And
anybody else arrested in this case?
No, Your Honor.
Nobody else was arrested?
No, Your Honor.
Only Ms. Wheeler.
That's correct, Your Honor. There was reference in Detective Lawson's report about bringing charges potentially against Mark Dillard as well as Charles Wheeler, but those charges were not filed.
Counsel, what do you think a person in Ms. Wheeler's situation should have done in this case? Here she is. She owns this property with her husband. She is raising the children in the house. She is estranged from her husband. He's got every right, though, to be on that property, just like she does. She has stuff stored in this garage, apparently, but he apparently uses it quite independent of any relationship with her. In order not to be found criminally liable, what did she have to do in this case?
Well, she obviously would have to defeat the statutory, the Indiana Code claim, indicating that she didn't have constructive knowledge.
But constructive knowledge, you say, can be inferred just from the fact that she had goods stored there. Am I correct?
Well, with respect to a probable cause determination, yes. As to whether or not a criminal determination beyond a reasonable doubt, that would be a different standard.
Suppose this hadn't been a remote garage. This had been an apartment, and the husband's cutting cocaine at the dining room table. Okay? The wife has all sorts of knickknacks and everything else in that room. She has her personal property throughout the apartment. She's got no place to go. Do you have probable cause to believe that she's running a common nuisance under those circumstances?
I think there would probably be a more proper charge of constructive possession of the cocaine. In that scenario, there would be no laboratory manufacturing setting of the cocaine. Rather, be more possession, a closely related charge for which there would be probable cause to arrest.
Let's say he's got, instead of my cutting cocaine at the table, let's suppose he's got a meth lab in the spare bedroom. Is she criminally responsible for maintaining a common nuisance under Indiana law simply by the fact that she lives there with her husband?
I would believe so, Your Honor. Certainly, I would think there would be probable cause.
Indiana places that burden on a spouse.
I don't think the code specifically defines with spouse, but anyone with a constructive knowledge, yes, I believe so.
Problem with your case. You have failed, I think, in your brief to show us any reasonable limits to the theory that you are propounding here. It allows a law enforcement officer to grab, as he did in this case, grab a spouse responsible for small children, or at least minors, arrest her, have her go the whole nine yards through the process in the hope that squeezing her is going to produce the evidence he hasn't been able to get with respect to anybody else. And this whole thing ended with nobody being charged, and they're dropping the charges against the wife. What this smells like and looks like is a case where Ms. Wheeler was simply used as a pawn by the police in order to attempt to build a case they couldn't get otherwise. And you've given me no limits as to how any family member can protect themselves from this kind of treatment or this kind of criminal liability, except to suggest that Indiana's got a very unreasonable law.
Well, I certainly think there's difference with respect to the criminal prosecution and the probable cause standard, Your Honor. I think in terms of probable cause, it's reasonable for Officer or Detective Lawson to believe that a crime had been committed. With respect to a standard beyond a reasonable doubt, of course, that's going to be a far more difficult standard. So I think there is a noted distinction.
What we'll do here is produce an opinion from the United States Court of Appeals that every law enforcement officer in Indiana will read that'll say, when you got a weak case, go grab the wife, threaten to put the kids into foster care, and see what you can bring up. That's what you're telling me. The Indiana law permits, and that we ought to sanction. Right? You give me no limits.
Well, I certainly think there has to be an objective, reasonable stance. Certainly, if there were no methamphetamines present. If there is no evidence discovered that had a manufacturer setting, if there was no video camera present observing the small block garage, those are all factors. With respect to, you know, who filed the criminal charges, of course, Detective Lawson had on his report the prospect of charging individuals, but that decision is made by the prosecutor.
The prosecutor make the decision to allow him to arrest Ms. Wheeler? Charge him with this?
Yes. In the motion to dismiss, the prosecutor specifically indicates that the prosecutor agreed with the probable cause determination.
And in terms of the cases you cited, there's not a case that's really on this precise issue that we're presented here with, is it? That there's enough, what's enough probable cause to permit an officer to arrest someone for maintaining a common nuisance?
That's correct, Your Honor, and that goes to a qualified immunity defense, that there is no clearly established known violation of constitutional right here. While there certainly is legal precedent to indicate that no one is subject to false arrest, with respect to determining whether or not this probable cause determination fit, Detective Lawson or whoever could not look to any legal precedent and indicate what are the clear boundaries. And that's one of our additional arguments, that he's entitled to qualified immunity based in part on that.
Was the prosecutor ever party to this action? Was he ever named as a defendant?
No, Your Honor.
The point was the case dismissed. How far after?
With respect to the criminal action, I'm not sure the record bears that out, Your Honor.
Don't know the date it was dismissed.
There is a dismissal order in the record, and I don't recall offhand what that date is, Your Honor.
Was it just prior to trial, or was there a trial date set, or what was the situation?
The dismissal on the record on page 135, it was November of 2004 that the order of dismissal was entered. Charges were filed in June, so it wasn't shortly after the charges were filed. I don't know. I don't think the record indicates one way or another whether or not there was a trial date.
Was she in custody at all?
No, Your Honor. In fact, prior to Detective Lawson arresting her, Detective Lawson gave her a name of a bonds person who could meet her at the jail, so she was in jail for no longer than an hour.
Detective Lawson's wife?
Correct, Your Honor.
Being in arrangement.
Is that a common practice there?
I don't believe so, Honor, but the record doesn't bear that out.
Who was the other officer? Was another member of the sheriff department or local police or?
There was Detective Anderson, and there was also someone from the Indiana State Police that tested the methamphetamines lab and the results. The Detective Anderson also submitted a probable cause affidavit agreeing with Detective Lawson.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the rest. Anderson submitted
another probable cause affidavit concurring with Detective Lawson's conclusion that there's correct, Your Honor.
And you said what? Department was he with?
He was with the same department.
Same one, Sheriff's Department. Was this a joint operation between State Police and the Sheriff's Department, do you know?
The State Police would come in to do testing, so it wasn't a joint operation per se, and the result is an explosion, so it was all onto the scene. Your Honors, I'm out of time if you have any additional questions.
Thank you.
I gather not. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Your Honor.
How much time does Mr. Barrett have? Just 2 minutes for rebuttal? The two I gave him? He has four. Okay. Thank you. Two. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor, and I appreciate the extra time. Just have a few points to hit on here with counsel reference. Concerning the prosecutor, Your Honor, I don't see how that really validates Detective Lawson's findings. Detective Anderson was a lower-ranking officer with Detective Lawson's department. The prosecutor did not conduct any independent investigations here. He more or less just rubber-stamped what Detective Lawson provided him. Detective Lawson was the officer in charge. That's established in the facts. He's the one that interviewed Michelle Wheeler. I think he left a phone call to one of the surviving Dillard cousin, and he also spoke with her estranged husband.
Well, the prosecutor didn't have to go through the grand jury process or anything to file such a charge.
Correct.
There was no requirement.
That's correct, Judge. He signed a criminal information, mm-hmm. and more or less, again, it was just a rubber stamp of Lawson's
right.
findings.
I understand, but I mean, I understand that he was basing it all on that information, but
correct.
He was an independent entity.
Yes, yes. Concerning the dismissal, Your Honor, I think you were asking some questions. I was defense counsel in the criminal case, so I know when this was going to trial. I think it was, and I'm stretching my memory, about a week, maybe no more than 2 weeks at most. This was pending for about 8 months. This lady went through the system where I took depositions, and then was finally dismissed literally about a week or two before the trial. The trial date was set. That just addresses that issue. I did want to reference a case here, Your Honor. I think you gave a hypothetical about a husband and a spouse. We cited to a case. It's the Holmes versus State case, Indiana Court of Appeals 91, where there was a defendant and her husband involved in cocaine, and maybe you were thinking of that case, where she saw this paraphernalia out and she knew that they used it, but they still reversed it. It's the guilt by association. The fact that it's paraphernalia. Statute requires knowledge of controlled substances, not paraphernalia. Razors, tanks, all that stuff. It's not what the statute requires. So I think that's what you were going on with that issue. I do want to touch on the other uncharged crimes. I see I'm out of time here. Just with respect to the qualified immunity, if I could just finish my thought. He did know that he had to have probable cause because he submitted a probable cause affidavit. He certainly knew it, and he certainly ran it by the prosecutor. No reasonable officer would have ever arrested someone in this situation. And I thank the court for my extra time.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett.
Thank you.
Mr. Clark, thank you as well. And the case will be taken under advisement.